All right. Well, good morning, everyone. For those who don't know me, my name is Liz. I'm one of the ministers here. And let me pray as we get started this morning. Lord Jesus, as we come to your word, Father, as we hear your heart for us, may the words that you have given that are from you be the ones that stick, and the words that are the ones that are from me just fall away. And Lord, may the words of our hearts may the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, that's what I was trying to think of. All right, so this is a long passage, and it may have been difficult to keep track of it all. It kind of repeated itself a little bit, so that was helpful. But here's the TLDR version, too lazy didn't read, for those of you who are under a certain age. Or over a certain age. We are coming to the end of Moses' final speech to the people that is the book of Deuteronomy. Congratulations, Joshua, your time has come. You are going to take God's people and lead them into the promised land. Moses is about to die, as God has said in the past that he and the people that refuse to cross into the promised land will not take it, but you were willing to follow God, Joshua. So you will now take the lead of God's people. Be strong and courageous. The Lord himself is with you and will go before you. Now, priests, make sure you write down all that Moses has said and make sure that you share it with the people whenever we have the cancelling of debt so that they remember it. But Joshua, it's time for us to go commune with God. Okay, Josh, it's time for you to take the leadership. FYI, just so you know, what you're walking into, the people will not actually do what I've asked them to do, and they're going to break all of the rules. But I'm still going with you and taking you into the promised land because I, the Lord, am faithful. And so Moses wrote a song about how they will do all of that and break all of those promises, which is what we'll look at next week if you got a bit confused and went, where is this song that is being referred to? And Joshua, finally, remember, be strong and courageous in the midst of it all, for I, the Lord, am with you. What a way to start your time in leadership of God's people. Basically, everyone is going to turn away from God and do their own thing. They're not going to listen to you or me. But don't worry, Joshua, I am going to remain with you through it all. It's a tough passage. I feel like it felt tougher since you, like, have been... But this morning, I actually want to focus less on unpacking the story itself and more on unpacking what this message might be for us within this story. Because as I've spent time reflecting on this passage today, I've felt a growing burden of God's heart for our church, for its past and for its future. It's one that I have felt for a while now, but I feel like today is when God wants me to sort of sit with it, unpack it, share it. So I encourage you to stick with me and discern what God's will is for you and our community in this time. And if you disagree with anything that I have said, Adam goes on leave this week, so have fun, Tavis. But really, I want you to seek God as I have sought God, because I feel a sense that as God's people in Israel here in Deuteronomy are on the precipice of something new and exciting, that is where our church is. And a number of people over the past few weeks have shared words with me about how they sense that. And it's not going to look like anything that any of us have seen before. And so maybe we're going to be a little bit confused that we've been praying for God to move, but that's not what we were praying for. But that in this season, our role as his people is to seek him and his will. And so this message takes three parts. The first is for our leaders, the second is to the people, and the third is to us all. So this first part, I address to the leaders in our church. That is Adam, our staff team, our wardens, our parish council. The rest of you are to listen. But be strong and courageous. For the Lord himself is with you. He goes before you. He is with you. He is for you. Do not be disheartened. It can sometimes feel, leading in a church like ours, some of you will have a longer history with this place than others, that you lead in the shadow of the past, both the good and the bad. Whether true or not, or whether you know it or not, this church has developed a reputation in the wider church of being a place that kind of burns leaders out and spits them out. The pressures of the good parts of the history of this place, the leaders that have gone before, I myself have been here 10 years, there has been a lot of leadership transition in that time. And the pain that has come before us in many different ways sits heavy on our hearts as leaders at times, but God is with us. Now, the role that we play is very different to Joshua's, because Joshua, in his season, was God's representative on earth. And what a great blessing and relief to us that that's not our job, because that is Jesus's. But we are still called in this season to lead God's people by his Holy Spirit. And there is a tension in that call of what does it look like for us to go before, as well as lead faithfully in a church that really truly does believe that we are the priesthood of all believers and we all have something to contribute and say. And we've been through a lot of transition over the last, I'm just going to say 20 years. It might be more than that. But as God's leaders in our church now, it's our turn to lead God's people into his future for us. That is a burden that I feel. And I feel very privileged to serve on this team at this time in our history, where I strongly believe that God has put together a team of people who are learning to trust one another, care for one another, and most importantly, pray together. It is not perfect. We're all fallible humanity, and it never will be, probably. Who knows? But God has a plan for his people here, and our role as leaders is to discern that with him and with one another and take time to press into that. For God's people cannot go where its leaders have not been. So let us press into him in prayer together and not be slow in heeding his commands. And so the second part then is to God's people, the members of Christ's body, his church. My family history with this place intertwines with the history of this church over the last 30 years, and it's good and it's hard. My personal history has been here over 10 years. I think it's about 11 and a half, give or take the 2 years I disappeared for. I know a lot of the stories of the ways that people have been both encouraged and hurt by those who have led here, encouraged and hurt by those who are members of the body here. But one of the things that I want to call out this morning is that I've noticed that at times we've had a tendency to focus on the failures of the leaders of the past without remembering our own, how we have contributed to the failing of anyone's circumstance. It's easier to lay blame on someone else than on ourselves. That's fair enough. And so I stand here, and someone who has gone from being a member of the body to one of the leaders, I repent of the things that I have done in the context of that, that has not allowed people who have led in this place to really be truly allowed to lead or set up to lead, because this is not true of everyone, and it's not singling out a certain person. Part of the culture here, which is both beautiful and has its own downside, is that because of all of that leadership transition, there is this culture that's been created that, well, this is our church, and leaders come and go, but it will always be our church. And that's a wonderful thing, because it means that there is ownership. But it's also a negative thing, because actually this is God's church. It belongs no less to any of us than the church down the road does. It is his church, his body, his kingdom. And so I want to encourage you to think on what that means for how we are part of this church and his body. And what that looks like is first and foremost obedience to God. First and foremost, it is not to be like Israel, who literally watched God bring them out of Egypt, give them food and water and all sorts of things in the desert, and then complained about him doing it because, oh, can we just go back to Egypt where it was, you know. Sometimes what God calls us to step forward into makes it easy for us to think that the grass was greener back there. But at the other end of that journey was the land of milk and honey. And they made it to the land of milk and honey, and they forgot the Lord their God. A church can look like the most beautiful, powerful. They might have the best band. They might have the best preachers. They might have the best equipment. But none of that matters if the people within it aren't willing to be obedient to the Lord their God. So, be strong and courageous. Because as God, the start of this passage is addressed to the whole people. And so the first time that we hear be strong and courageous in this passage, it is to everyone within Israel. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. No matter what you come up against, if you are living your life in obedience to God, he will not leave you nor forsake you. That doesn't mean that everything is going to go right, or the way that the world tells us is right. But it does mean that the Lord our God comes with us. And what it also means is that actually, as the people of God who are living in obedience to God, your role is to question leadership when it does things that seem ungodly. But that doesn't mean that every decision needs to involve every single person, nor does it mean that we should be feeling a sense of complaint when we disagree. I mean, there's a complaint there, but I'm trying to word this well. The sense that I have is that actually we have leaders in our church in this season that are first and foremost prayerful and seeking God in prayer in anything that they do. I don't agree with every decision that Adam made. I actually don't. We're different people. We think different things. But I trust him. And I strongly believe and know that every decision that he makes is grounded in his prayer life and his walk with God. And so who am I to question God in this season? But I'm also not the leader of this church, so actually it's my job as clergy, it's actually in my thing, that I am to respect him as my leader. Now, there are people here who are carrying hurt from previous leaders of our church or other churches. And that shapes the way that you interact with our leaders today. And as far as I can, let me apologize and repent of some of the actions of people in the past. There are things that have happened in this church community, some of them more recent than others. Some of them by leaders in our church, some of them by members of our church, some of them by people outside our church that have caused pain to our members because of the way that they have approached decision-making or leadership or any of those things. I feel a strong sense, and your walk with God is different to mine, and I encourage you to seek him for your personal journey, that it's time for our church to let go of the hurts of the past. There are times where, as clergy, we meet with people who are still reconciling with things that happened 30 years ago. God doesn't want that for us. He wants us to heal. And he wants us as a community to move forward into the future that he has for us. And so finally, a message for us all. God's grace is bigger than we will ever know. He knows before they even step foot in the land that he has promised them that all will go their own way. If you want to see how much they go their own way, I encourage you to join our 6 p.m. congregation over the next few weeks because they're about to hit the really juicy parts of Judges. God tells Joshua here, I already know that they won't do all the things that I've asked them to do. But I'm still going to bless you in going over the Jordan. I'm still going to take them into the land that I have promised them, even though I know that they will fail. Time and again in Scripture, God's leaders fail to live up to who they could be. And so do God's people. To be strong and courageous in this season of our church is to acknowledge the failings of the past, to celebrate and acknowledge the great times of the past, but to take a step forward to live in now, to walk forward into the future. Who are we here in this congregation as 10 a.m. Q? Not three different groups of people who happen to meet together on a Sunday. And there is, I'm not saying that that's not the case, but that we are one community under God, seeking Him and His future for this church together. Moses was a great leader and God's anointed for that time. But his failings meant that he would never enter the promised land, and the people also fell to that. One of Moses' mistakes was that when they sent the spies into the land, rather than listening to God, he listened to the people. And so all of us need to be encouraging our leaders, as well as each of us, to be listening to God first and foremost. To not be afraid to follow his lead for fear of human discontent or backlash. And at the same time, one of the great things about living as post-resurrection people is that we don't need to put our hope and faith in human leaders, because our hope is in Jesus. He is the one that we all follow first. Because as I said earlier, we don't live in the time where human leaders are here to be God's representatives on earth. But we do acknowledge that God still raises up leaders for his church today. It is still God, if we truly believe that our incumbency committees and our diocese and all of those people seek God in prayer as a part of the process, that the person who is appointed to lead in our church is the person that God seeks for that season. And so we press on together. And I encourage us to take space to seek God's plans for our future together. So what does that look like? It means we pray together. It means we take time and space to gather in our smaller groups, in our connect groups, in our friendship circles, at our prayer nights, to pray and seek God. And if you, in seeking God, receive something that you feel is for our community, because if we're praying, we're also stopping and listening to him, then pass it on to someone in leadership so that we can act upon it. I've found at times I've met with people who are gifted somewhat in the prophetic, and they have shared words with me 5 or 10 years after they've received them and shared how frustrated they are about the fact that it hasn't come to fruition. And when I ask, well, have you shared it with anyone else? The answer is no. That's not to judge those people, but to say that if we can't discern it as a community, then how are we to press into that space that maybe God is calling us to? And so if that is a gift that God has given you by his Spirit, I encourage you to earnestly seek him, but also to feed it back. We make space to gather together. We commit to being together, whether that be on a Sunday or in formal or informal groups over the week. Because you can't seek the future for a group of people that you're not regularly a part of. And so I encourage you to press into this community And if you're finding it, if you are newer and you are finding it difficult to do that, then please speak to anyone in this room about how we can help you do that. Also, if you've been here a while and you're finding that a struggle. We forgive one another. We say confession every week. The purpose of the greeting of the peace is actually to take space to forgive others in our community if that is a thing that is need. Do you have a grievance against someone? Take it to them first. But forgive those who may have wronged you if you have the ability to do so. But make sure that you're taking it to them before others. Because sometimes we don't even realize what we've done to grieve you. And that's true for all of us. And most of all, we put our hope and trust in Jesus, who is the one true leader of our church and his church. Because God is for us. He goes before us. We should not be discouraged, and we can be strong and courageous. And I encourage you to live your life in the knowledge of all of that. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, may anything that I have said that need not be held in any heart be taken straight away. But Lord, where you are working in people's hearts, I pray that you would continue to work. Father, where there is need for healing, may there be healing. Where there is need to forgive, may there be forgiveness. Where there is need to repent, may there be repentance. Lord, you know each and every single one of our hearts. You know where we have been. You know where we will go. You know our future. Father, I pray that our future would be first and foremost in you. To be people who are held by you in obedience to you. The words of one of the songs we sang earlier spoke about walking into holiness with you, Lord. May that be the story of each of us individually and us as a church. Lord Jesus, we don't want to go where you aren't going before us. So help us to follow the path ahead, the one that you are already walking, and be good stewards of the gospel that you have given to us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.